Philip Sandifer, WWIB. That one on my mind this morning, at least songs like that. Went to the funeral for 63-year-old Tim Klatt yesterday. And if you know Tim, you know what a special prince of a guy he was. They did at the funeral at Jacob's Well Church in Lake Halley highlight his smile. It was golden. It was just as good as it gets. It was sunshine. Paul Berthume, yes, sunshine, absolutely. And it's a kick in the gut for those of us who knew him. I hadn't seen him in a long time, but knew him for many years. Had attended the same church at one point. And so I'm playing the tunes between now and 7, the first song after 7. After that, it's Caleb until 9. But Tim on our minds, and had a chance at least to talk to one of his daughters, Lindsay, yesterday, and saw her two beautiful kids, Tim's grandkids. And you just never know. As we start with Jason Kanza, best 5 minutes of the day. Not a downer. Tim knew the Lord, and he loved the Lord, and God's love shone through him. But when you lose a friend at 63 or whatever age, I mean, it's hard, you know? So good morning.
Yeah, I think so. I thank you for sharing that. I think it's easy sometimes when people do know Christ and they die to want to skip over that. But I think there is real sorrow that comes in the death of people as well. You know, and so I think it's good to know that and acknowledge that.
And it's hard not to, you go, oh, you know, I wish we could have had another conversation. But you don't know.
Right.
You know, you just don't know.
Right.
So, again, thoughts and prayers sincerely and genuinely for his family, and friended his daughter on Facebook then last night. So, tell you what, we've had all sorts of variety in our conversations this week. And if people missed any, go back and do what my friend Scott in Eau Claire does. He says he likes to listen to, we kick off the podcast weekday morning. So, go check that out at wib.com. I think you'll be glad you did. We covered some good subjects, but we're working our way pretty slowly through the devotions from Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, your book and the devotions, and I think we're in John 15 still, right?
We are. Yeah, this book came out actually over a year ago, and we've been, like you said, just kind of wading through it.
So. Drip, drip, drip. there we go.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
So we're in John 15:21 this morning, and the verse says, "But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." And I wrote this: why do some people hate Jesus and his followers? Jesus' message to love God and love others in and of itself does not seem particularly countercultural, and yet it often confronts religious and non-religious ideologies alike. In Jesus' time, the scribes and Pharisees had definite ideas about what constituted right religion. They believed they knew God's law and kept it better than anyone else. They viewed themselves as the gatekeepers in God's kingdom. Legalists still keep watch at the gate. If we accept their interpretations of the Bible, we may be allowed in, but once we make it through the gate, we find ourselves having to walk a precariously narrow road. On the other hand, non-religious people often live for pleasure and self-satisfaction. When Jesus told his followers that in order to truly love, they must lay down their lives for others, it ran contrary to hedonism, which is why hatred comes from both sides. Huh. You know, and I think even, I know we've talked on here probably about The Chosen, and I think for me there's that Jesus was so surprising, right? I mean, it was the people who were religious, the people who were non-religious. Everybody seemed shocked by Jesus. And I think it's good for us to pay attention to what are the ways Jesus stirs us. What parts of Jesus are we uncomfortable with?
But one of the things that I thought you were going to go with, and not in necessarily your devotion, but even conversationally here, Jason Kanza, is the idea of when we say, why does the world hate the disciples? I mean, what about sometimes when church people have it coming? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes what we do and the way we're not acting loving or kind or patient. We're coming across more like the Pharisees, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely. And I think that's, you know, I think we've, again, I think that's something you and I have talked about here. We've certainly talked about it personally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that idea that the world a lot of times doesn't really see Jesus in those who are part of the church. You know, we're called to be people who love God and love others.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so often our actions reflect hatred, division, and that's just not the way of Jesus.
I mean, I understand Paul writes in 2 Timothy, if anyone desires to live godly in Christ Jesus, they will be persecuted. My daughter goes to a youth group. She said that, you know, how come everybody's talking about persecution these days? All I'm saying is, as we are self-aware, if you're being persecuted, just why? You know, why? What is it you're being persecuted for? And so, anyhow, we've got 1 minute here. One other author beyond Tim Keller that you've read a lot or all of is who?
How do we do Brennan Manning in 1 minute? I mean, my goodness.
We save him for next week, I guess. You know, it's interesting. Maybe the kickoff to that is I had somebody tell me recently. Again, we try to peel back the curtain here on this. I mean, I had somebody tell me recently, a Christian leader that's like, oh, yeah, I don't do Brennan Manning. I don't believe that God loves you as you are, not as you ought to be, because people won't change if you say that. And we play basically that clip from Brennan, and I'm going to play it again this morning. So,
yeah. Yeah, I would love to share my story about my exposure to Brennan Manning, but I think it takes more than 30 seconds.
All right, then we'll save it for Monday. You've always got to tease, you know, in broadcasting, what's the next thing coming up? So,
sounds good.
All right, like the one of my favorite TV shows from the Batman show from the 60s, you know, he'd always, it'd be some cliffhanger, and join us tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. We're out of here.
We're running just a little bit late, but it is that time of week on the Wib Wake Up Show where we try to help you as our public service catch up on all that you might have missed in news, sports, politics, and pop culture in the last week, because there's no way you can possibly keep up with it. And because we respect your time and we care about you, we bring it to you in condensed form. We call it headlines. Here we go.
A guy in China posted a note for help on social media after he was locked inside a convenience store overnight.
Help, I have an unlimited supply of snacks and pop. Please rescue me, but no hurry. According to a recent study, human attention span has supposedly dropped from 12 seconds back in 2002 to only 8 seconds today, which is a full second shorter than a goldfish.
I had the cutest goldfish when I was a kid. Has anyone seen the remote?
Proof positive.
A list was published of the fresh produce with the most pesticides, strawberries, apples, and peaches.
So you're telling me it's safer to just eat Fruit Loops?
There you go.
A researcher at Tel Aviv University says procrastination might be a trait we learn from our parents. If they were procrastinators, you also have a good chance of being one.
By the way, this story is about a week old. I'm just now getting around to sharing it. Of the 210 million adults in the United States, more than 75 million are now classified as obese.
Now, Halvo, I'm better at eating pizza than doing math, but I'm still pretty sure that's a lot.
It is.
And finally, a study says the most contented country on earth is Denmark.
Which explains why there's no TV show called The Real Housewives of Copenhagen.
Thank you so much for that. Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up.
All right. Hey, family fun for over the weekend is just sharing some of these great stories. Really, you could have a lot of laughs, and we've got a bunch of them. In terms of, Caleb posted this yesterday, and the Wib Facebook page, what's the most embarrassing thing your child has done in public?
Again, yeah, so WWIB Radio on Facebook, hopefully you've liked and followed that. Uh-huh. All sorts of hilarity in my home last night, and it's continuing as more of you weigh in. So Beth says, again, most embarrassing thing your child has done in public. Beth says, when my daughter was 3, she licked a Walmart shopping cart while shopping with my husband. Again, with kids, like, why are you licking that? Less than an hour later, Beth says, they were at McDonald's eating when she puked everywhere. He caught the vomit with his tray in front of a full dinner crowd.
Wow.
She learned a key lesson about shopping carts that day, Beth says.
Oh, goodness. Jody's is shorter. While visiting UWEC, my 4-year-old pulled the fire alarm in Davies on the way out.
Oh, all right. There you go. Future blue goal.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Mary, again, most embarrassing thing your child has done in public. Mary says, my child ran outside with nothing on. We live in town.
There you go. Sue says, grocery shopping with my grandson when he saw a man with an eye patch, and he very loudly says, look, Grandma, a pirate. Fortunately, the man just laughed and said, arg.
That was a moment. Kristen says, my middle child decided that the floor in church was just the right amount of salty and licked it. What's with licking?
I know it. And finally, Jessica says, my son was terrified of the bathroom when he was a toddler. So one day I was checking out a Walmart and he needed to use the restroom. So I had my daughter take him. I knew he couldn't wait. When I looked up to check on them, I noticed he had his pants down and he was going in a plant.
Oh, goodness. We are enjoying these so much, because here's the thing. I'm choosing not to share embarrassing moments for my children, and some of them I'm sure are still yet to happen. We are with you. We are family here at WWIB. You're supported all the way. We'd love to hear more and laugh along with you, because maybe some of these, you can laugh about them now.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Well, another fun and great week here on the WIB Wake Up Show. We had a lot going on, and so we bring to you, without further ado, the best of the week.
All right, 16 places, less than a minute. Can we do it? Recapping a whole week. First, we went to Gilmanton to visit Donna Mae. Chickadees and Sammy's and Thorpe's Aroma Cafe. Coffee at 4:30 a.m., omelets at Ranty's. Then road trip to Los Cobos and a slice of Italy.
Someone actually said in a job interview, do you know of any companies where I could get a job I would like better than this one?
We have something a little extra for you here today. You can open that. This is just for you and your staff today. We just wanted to say thank you.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is too much. Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Actual things that people have said during job interviews. What is it that you people do at this company anyway? I mean, I still want the job, but what is it you do?
There's so much technology, and there's just so many little potholes you can fall into, you know?
It's not a big deal. You know, my mother-in-law messages me all the time, and I don't get those. They fall through the cracks.
No, it's understandable. That's important.
4 days, 16 restaurants, $13,300 in surprise big tips.
Here's an actual quote from a job interview. I would have been more successful if nobody would have snitched on me.
What in the world? And I never got caught neither.
When people find out you're a comedian, and you could go almost anywhere, when they find out you does anybody say, like, tell me a joke?
Oh, yeah, all the time. People say, oh, tell me something funny. It's like, well, that's not quite how it works.
It's
like asking a tennis player, like, oh, you play tennis? Let's play tennis in the living room right now. It's like, you need a net, you need a racket. It doesn't work like that.
My resume might make it look like I'm a job hopper, but I want you to know that I never left any of those jobs voluntarily. Breakfast at Maxine's and pie at Lady Smith Family. The District and Silly Serrano was so fun to see. Heckles, Fill-In Station, Northern Tap House, and Del Rey. I guess a great big thank you is all I have left to say.
Will the company move my rock collection from California to Maryland?
It's a fringe benefit that's very important to me. Other things that people said during job interviews, someone blurted this one out. My legs are really hairy. I guess Casual Fridays just want you to be aware.
You can go ahead and open that now. It's for you guys and for your staff.
That's very generous. You have no idea. People will really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And in fact, then you got another stop, and people can see this on the video from the manager.
Yeah, Greta came out.
You have my staff in shock right now.
I'm watching something right now. Yeah.
I can just say thank you for this, because it really has been a really difficult year for a lot of my staff members. And,
seriously, thank you. There it is, another week in the books. Havel's Labor of Love each week here on the WIB Wake Up Show. The best of the week, a compilation from everything you might have missed.
Oh, boy, a lot of fun.